Thanks for checking out the latest episode of the Spencer on Sports podcast. Heard weekday afternoons from 2 to 3 on KGYM.
Best thing about a short week is, hey, it's already Friday. It's good news. June 2nd, 2023, Spencer at Sports, kicking off local programming here on KGYM. Glad to be with you, as always, on another very summer-like June 2nd. We had the unofficial start to summer. Haven't even gotten to the actual official start to the summer season, and it's been warm and humid the last couple days. Such is life here in the Midwest, right? Thanks for joining the show. As always, with you till 3 o'clock. Lots to get to in the next hour here on KGYM, part of four straight hours of local sports talk on your radio dial and on your internet stream or on our free app. Grab the app today, by the way, the KGYM Sports Radio app in your app store, whichever one you use. I would say prefer, but you can't, like, have an Android phone and download from the Apple store. I don't think you can, at least. I'm team Android. Isaac, I know you're team Apple, correct? We don't need to get into that debate. I don't think it really matters, but whatever app store you use, you could find us there. I did search and I made that comment yesterday. There might be some, you know, fake apps out there. There are some radio apps that pop up when you type in KGYM Sports Radio in the App Store, so be sure you grab our official app. It's right there. Should be the first one that pops up. But you can stream us there, kgymradio.com, your smart speaker, and, of course, on traditional radio, AM or FM, on the radio dial. You can find us there. Spencer Wagan, my name, producer Isaac, as I mentioned, along for the ride as well. We'll get to a little Major League Baseball, take a look at the weekend ahead. Another summer weekend full of baseball. Got some basketball to talk about. I will say I feel more confident today than I did yesterday about my Nuggets in 5 pick. Talk about game one of the NBA Finals last night. Huge performances from Nikola Jokic and from Jamal Murray last night as the Nuggets take a 1-0 series lead. Get into that. Also, take a look at the Stanley Cup Final, which starts tomorrow night as Vegas and Florida do battle in the NHL, battle for Lord Stanley's Cup. Got that for you, of course, right here on all of our frequencies, 6:30 broadcast time, 7 o'clock or thereabouts, the start of game one tomorrow night. You can catch it right here on KGYM. We'll talk about that. A little preview for you coming up before 3 o'clock. And talk some college baseball to start. Localize things here. Start local as we do and take a look at the college baseball tournament. The NCAA regionals already underway. We have some interesting developments so far in the Terre Haute regional. The top seed, the host team, Indiana State, currently losing to Wright State. That game headed to the bottom half of the eighth. The Wright State Raiders out of the Horizon League with a 5-3 lead so far on the Indiana State Sycamores. I feel like I have to emphasize their nickname every time I talk about them after that one random gaffe back in February. But the Raiders leading the Sycamores 5-3. That game headed to the bottom half of the eighth. If you get ESPN Plus, you can stream that game while you listen to us talk here today. Already a couple finals in the books. We'll check out the full scoreboard coming up here momentarily for college baseball. Also have some college softball going on. Pac-12 battle in the Women's College World Series right now, Washington and Utah. That game in the fifth inning, currently on ESPN2. And some more games coming up later on today. An elimination game coming up tonight between Stanford and Alabama, about the same time as the Iowa baseball game, if you're so inclined to check out softball. Keep you up to date on that as well. If you want to interact with the show, 319-366-1600 is the Talker text line. Again, 319-366-1600. Do have a poll question for you as well. You can interact that way at kgymradio.com. Simple as this. Will the Hawkeyes win the Terre Haute Regional? Iowa baseball starts their path to a potential regional championship tonight as they take on North Carolina. So we're asking you, do you think Iowa's going to win the regional? Got a pretty good shot to do it. Still got to go out and play the game, but seeing the number one seed trailing in the bottom half of the eighth certainly has your ears perked up, your eyes perked up, paying attention maybe a little bit more to a potential path for the Hawkeyes there. But got to play tonight, of course, against North Carolina. So if you want to weigh on the poll question, You can do so courtesy of our friends at Hawkeye Title and Settlement on Highway 1 West in Iowa City. Bringing you the poll question each and every day at KGYMradio.com. So, as mentioned, that regional action getting underway. A big number of games going on throughout the day today and continuing into tonight. Got some games starting up as late as 9 o'clock tonight. So if you love your college baseball, you love this time of year, which I believe is always a fun time of the year. I've gotten more and more into college baseball over my last few years as a sports fan, following, you know, the Big Ten teams, but sitting back and enjoying different teams from around the country. I think I've talked on maybe on this show or when I filled in for Todd before, but living in a town, my previous town where I lived, the Northwoods League. I'm sure those of you who've attended a Northwoods League game, whether that's in Waterloo or somewhere in Minnesota or Wisconsin, wherever that may be, you get to know the players, you get to follow the players, you get to see these guys play in your town for a summer, and then they go back to school the next year. It's kind of cool to see these guys that you saw play right in front of you go back and maybe do big things on the national stage. And certainly I've experienced that. Guys I've seen play in the Northwoods League go and do big things at their school. Some have gotten drafted in the major leagues. So that's kind of where my interest in college baseball has grown since probably 2017, 2018, that kind of time frame. To the present day, but certainly helps your interest too if you're an Iowa baseball fan, a Hawkeye fan just in general, and you see Iowa in the NCAA regional for the first time in 6 years. Certainly is a very good accomplishment for Coach Rick Heller and his squad. And as we've talked about throughout the week, this week Iowa will play the North Carolina Tar Heels coming up tonight. Again, 6 o'clock Central Time start. The TV network is ACC Network, but every game throughout the regionals here is simulcast on ESPN Plus. So if you have access to ESPN Plus, you will be able to see the game. You don't have to worry about, I don't get ACC Network. It's on ESPN Plus. Everything you see, all the games we talk about, all the scores we tell you about, will be on ESPN Plus. And Iowa and North Carolina coming in. The Hawkeyes, the 2 seed, and North Carolina, the number 3 seed in this regional. Indiana State and Wright State, of course, the 1 seed and the 4 seed, respectively. And as we talked about earlier in the week, Marcus Morgan getting the nod tonight for the Hawkeyes, 4-2 with a 3.88 ERA, facing off against Jake Knapp, who carries a 5-3 mark of 4.79 ERA into tonight's game at Bob Warren Field in Terre Haute, Indiana. Iowa and North Carolina coming in, and we talked a little bit this week. We heard from UNC's head coach about how they're going to be missing one of their key players, at least in the fielding side of things. And while the pitcher, Knapp, tonight, the starting pitcher that will begin the game for North Carolina, might not have the best numbers in the world, 5-3, 4.79, not great, not terrible, kind of middle of the road, above 500 record, and a decent ERA. Head coach Rick Heller says North Carolina bullpen is one to watch, and he spoke a little bit about that earlier this week, says it's going to be much different for Iowa compared to facing a Big Ten-level bullpen. Here's what Coach Heller had to say about North Carolina and especially the back end of the bullpen for the Tar Heels.
To the bullpen, it's not like a lot of situations that we're in, and we've talked about this a ton this entire season. Is, you know, you've heard me say we got to get his pitch count up and get into the bullpen, and we feel like we can really do some damage once we get there. It's almost the opposite with North Carolina.
Heller went on to say a little bit more about the pitching staff and what they bring to the table for the Tar Heels.
You know, not that their starters aren't good, because they are, but you're just going to see, you know, 93 to 95, and not just velocity, but slider, changeup, cutter. You're going to see some really high-quality arms, and there's quite a few of them that they go to in the backside of their bullpen, and that would be, what I consider the biggest strength.
Iowa coming into the regional here tonight with Game 1 against the Tar Heels, and another guaranteed game tomorrow. Obviously, win or lose, it's a double elimination. So if you win, hey, good for you. You get to play the winner of Game 1. If you lose, you will play an elimination game during the daytime hours tomorrow. But Iowa's been playing some pretty good baseball. And even with not being able to clinch the Big Ten Tournament Championship, which would have gotten them that auto bid, again, getting shut out by Maryland last Sunday, in Omaha, the 4-0 defeat to the Terps, who ended up winning the Big Ten Tournament Championship in the automatic bid. Iowa, all told, has won 17 of their last 21 games. And head coach Rick Heller says he's seen a lot of energy and he's seen a lot of confidence coming into tonight's game against North Carolina.
We all know that things can go against you that you don't have a lot of control over, but we need to make sure that when we leave Terre Haute, that we've left it all on the table and we've done everything that we possibly can to extinguish the controllables on our side.
And Heller says there's a strong belief from this team, despite being the 2 seed, not being the number 1 seed, and probably weren't going to get that regardless of what you did in the Big Ten tournament. But I digress. Still a pretty solid seed, 42 wins. Maybe not being the favorite to come out of this regional since they're not the home team. They're not the number 1 team in the regional. He's still noticing quite a bit of belief in this squad that they can win a game, maybe win 2 games, and maybe even win the whole thing.
This is what we've been working for the entire year, since we arrived on campus August 22nd. This has been what we're striving for, not just to get to the regionals, but to win the regionals and play well enough to win the regionals and the super regionals and get to Omaha. I mean, that's where we want to go, and we want to compete for a national championship, and this is just the first step of that.
And you've heard him say, he said after the Big Ten, Coach Heller did after the Big Ten tournament championship game, again, in which Iowa lost, he said, if we play to our potential, we think we can get to not just the regional. They have gotten there, obviously hoping to get further beyond that, but he believes, as the head coach does, or as the head coach of that team, and you expect him to obviously believe that, but the way they've been playing baseball certainly has proven that, they can certainly have the tools to maybe make a deep run here in the postseason, and certainly Iowa fans would love to see that. Again, winners of 17 of the last 21 games. They'll need to do it tonight against a North Carolina team that's got, as you heard Coach Heller talk about, a solid starting rotation and a very good bullpen, and we'll see that tonight here against Iowa in Terre Haute, Indiana. I was looking at this. This is for the tournament in general. When you look at the NCAA baseball tournament, of course, the road to Omaha starts with the regionals. You get to the super regionals. You get to the College World Series. It's good to be one of the top teams. It sounds like completely simplistic analysis, right? Like, oh, gee, the number 1 team in the country has a really good shot to win the World Series. Duh. Like, obviously, that's usually how it works. But ESPN Stats and Info, they're the network that provides all this coverage, and they kind of broke it down. They went back through all the archives of the regionals and looked at the seedings and who came out of it and all that different type of stuff, and crunched the numbers. Made my job a heck of a lot easier here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. But in the 23 seasons, so it's been 23 seasons since the tournament went up to 64 teams, 74% of the teams to reach the Men's College World Series, so the Baseball World Series essentially, College World Series for baseball, have come from the 16 teams to earn the top seed in their regional. So if you're prognosticating, you were picking, you would be hard-pressed to find anyone else to cheer for or anyone else to pick than the top 16 teams that earn the top seeds in their regional. Being one of the top 16 teams, and especially one of the top 8, is particularly important in baseball because first 2 rounds are typically hosted by the top seeds. When it comes to the regionals themselves, this is where it gets interesting. And I'm not saying Iowa doesn't have a chance, because I think they do if they can continue to get offensive production from up and down their lineup. Their pitchers can continue their strong outings, and their bullpen can could continue to show what they showed, especially in the Big Ten baseball tournament this past weekend. They absolutely have a chance to get through, but chances are the home team is going to win the regional. 67% of regionals since 1999 have been won by the home team. In 2022, 11 of the host teams won their regional, the third straight year that at least two-thirds of hosts have gotten from the first round, the regional round, into the super regional. The advantage continues through the second round. 69%, pretty nice number, of super regional hosts have advanced to the Men's College World Series. But there's a caveat to that. Last year, 6 of the 8 road teams advanced to Omaha. An interesting stat, though, once you get to Omaha, this is, again, from ESPN Stats and Info, all bets are off. Maybe it isn't the number one seed that does well. They get to Omaha, but getting the number one seed to win the trophy is tougher than you think, especially when you get to Omaha. The only time the number one national seed, the top overall seed, which this year again is Wake Forest, first time since 1955, looking for a title, first time since 1955. The only time the number one national seed has brought home the trophy was all the way back in 1999, the Miami Hurricanes, the season that those national seeds were first introduced. The highest-seeded team to reach Omaha has won the title 3 times in 23 seasons. The last to do it was the Vanderbilt Commodores back in 2019. So there is success getting from the regional to the super regional and maybe even to Omaha. But when you look at it, it's not always the top team that wins it all. And we saw that last year, and I talked about that briefly on Tuesday. When you look at the teams that got in and didn't get in, teams that are maybe the last four in. Last year, it was the last team in got to the World Series and won the whole thing with Ole Miss. So we'll see if history can repeat itself again in this season when you look at it as a whole. The last four teams in, by the way, if you're curious, to this year's NCAA baseball regionals, Arizona, Louisiana, Oklahoma, and Troy. Those are the last four teams into the field this year. Can one of those teams win the College World Series? Takes getting hot at the right time, right? Anybody can win anything. It just matters how you're playing baseball here down the stretch. But we'll see if Iowa can continue this nice run of games they've strung together. Iowa and North Carolina tonight against 6 o'clock from Terre Haute. Weather doesn't look too bad over there, about the same as here in Iowa. The forecast or the weather that they reported on, ESPN Plus reported on when I was watching part of the Wright State Indiana State game a little bit ago. Sunny and 90 was the conditions in Terre Haute. So expect much of the same. Maybe a little bit cooler at 6 o'clock at night, but not the midday heat, but still going to be plenty warm out there in Indiana. The score has tightened up a little bit, by the way, there in Terre Haute. The Raiders of Wright State now only leading 5-4. So Indiana State looking to mount a comeback here today against Wright State, who's led for much of that game. 3 finals in the books in the NCAA baseball regionals. Virginia, number 7 national seed, crushing Army 15-1 in the opening opening game, I should say, of the Charlottesville Regional. Also Kentucky shutting out Ball State, winning 4-0 there. And Texas Tech beating UConn 3-2. Texas Tech winning the first game in the Gainesville Regional this afternoon. Scrolling along the scores here, Maryland in action right now. The Terps leading Northeastern 7-2. That game is in the top half of the 9th inning. Don't see anything else with Midwest ties here so far. Number three, national seed Arkansas down to Santa Clara early in the first inning in the Fayetteville Regional. That is of note. Still very early in that one. As I mentioned, Iowa tonight at 6. The other Big Ten team in the field, along with the Terps and the Hawkeyes, is Indiana, and they start up their play same time as Iowa tonight. The Hoosiers taking on West Virginia, 39-18 for the Mountaineers, 41-18 for the Hoosiers this year. That game is at 6 as well. So if you're a Big Ten baseball fan, maybe you can pull up the dual streams here for tonight and check those out. But that's a big part of the weekend. College softball World Series from Oklahoma City continuing on as well. Washington and Utah ending the fifth inning there. Stanford and Alabama playing an elimination game at 6 tonight. And then the loser of the Utah-Washington game is set to play Oklahoma State tonight at 8:30 in another elimination game. So it is Elimination Friday in Oklahoma City for the Women's College World Series. 319-366-1600. Remember, a poll question if you want to weigh in on it at our website, kgymradio.com. Will the Hawkeyes win the Terre Haute Regional? Yes or no? You can vote with what you think at kgymradio.com. 225, quick timeout. We'll come back, talk some NBA Finals. Like I said, my feelings, I said yesterday on the show, I was going to pick Nuggets in five. I felt kind of not all that confident about it. I felt like we were discounting the Heat a little bit. Maybe it was just a one-game blip on the radar for Miami, but I am feeling quite more confident in my Nuggets in five pick after what we saw last night at Ball Arena in Denver. We'll talk about that and more on the other side of this timeout. It's Spencer on Sports with you on a Friday here on KGYM.
Eastern Iowa weather on the gym.
Hi, meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your weather first forecast. And we're in for another summery day with the heat, humidity, and some pop-up showers and storms. That'll be the case this afternoon into the early evening. As we head into tonight, then, we'll have partly cloudy skies. Temperatures will be dropping down into the mid-60s. Tomorrow and Sunday will still be sunny and hot, but the humidity will be lower, leading to a lower chance for rain. As we head into next week, we'll start to see some relief from the heat with some lower temperatures. That's your latest Iowa's News Now weather first forecast.
The Earth is a big ball of energy. E&J Geothermal wants to help you tap into it. Spring is an ideal time to have E&J install a geothermal system to heat and cool your home. An energy-efficient Climate Master geothermal system from E&J Geothermal saves money on your energy bills, sure. But right now, you'll save even more with the extended federal and state geothermal tax credits. The folks at E&J Geothermal would be happy to tell you all about it. Find out more at ejgeothermal.com.
KGYM is an equal opportunity employer, and under FCC rules, any community organization that distributes information about employment opportunities or refers people to employers may ask to be notified about job vacancies at KGYM. If your organization would like notification of KGYM's job vacancies, contact Julie Hine. Email julie at kzia.com or write her at 1110 26th Avenue Southwest, Cedar Rapids, Iowa, 52404.
Opening to the public in September 2023, it's Pin Seekers, with two levels of year-round entertainment featuring 56 all-weather luxury golf suites, smart target greens, 18 holes of authentic mini golf, 6 lanes of duck pin mini bowling, multi-sport simulators, event space, and so much more. For a limited time, get your individual or family membership and save over $500 while also receiving 3 months free. Get your membership or gift card today at pinseekers.golf.
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp for Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire.
Back at 228, Spencer at Sports with you for a Friday, second day of June of 2023. 319-366-1600. Things have changed in a hurry. A two-run single in the bottom half of the eighth for Indiana State has given those Sycamores the lead 6-5. Over Wright State. Still not the end of the game. They're headed to the top half of the ninth, but Indiana State three outs away from staving off an upset early on. Iowa and North Carolina, the winner of that game, will face the winner of this game. Indiana State, Wright State, they're headed to the ninth. That is on ESPN Plus if you want to check out the action while you're listening to the show, of course. 319-366-1600 is the talk or text line if you want to chime in today. Talking a little NBA Finals now with you, and Isaac joining me as always. What'd you think last night? I am not surprised by the result. Nikola Jokic pretty much did anything he wanted to. He had, what, like 12 shots and put up 27, 10, and 14. Jamal Murray was incredible. The entire Nuggets lineup essentially was incredible, and the Heat just had just an awful night shooting the basketball last night.
Yeah, I mean, that's the only thing that if you're a Heat fan or like on the side of the Heat that you can come away with is maybe the Heat missed a lot of open threes, which I think is fair. But that's about the only thing I could really come up with, right? A positive for the Heat that maybe you can carry into next game. You're like, well, if we hit our open threes, maybe it's the game goes a little differently. But, you know, Jimmy Butler was bad. He wasn't even bad compared to Jimmy Butler standards. He was just like a negative NBA player. Yeah. And so that's a little bit worrying, maybe. But yeah, it was kind of just what we expected, where they didn't have an answer for Jokic. In the first quarter, they played the Heat played man, I want to say, and then when Jokic sat out the beginning of the second, they switched to a 2-3, which the Heat are really comfortable playing, and the bench players for the Nuggets picked apart that 2-3, and then in the fourth quarter, I know the Nuggets struggled a little bit in the fourth quarter with that 2-3, but I thought they missed some wide open threes is the bigger issue for them. The Nuggets didn't even have a great shooting night themselves. I think they only hit like 8 threes, 8 for 20-something.
8 of 27, yeah.
Yeah, so...
Not great.
Not great, yeah. I would expect them to be even better next game. So, I just don't know what the Heat... I'm sure Eric Spoelstra will come up with something, but I'm not sure what that something is, because I don't know... I just don't see a way to slow Jokic down with what we saw in game one.
A lot of Cody Zeller. I think they went Bam Adebayo on him for a good chunk of the game, too. And Adebayo was okay, you know, but he still, I mean, Jokic got, he was 8 of 12 from the floor.
Right. I mean, just the efficiency is insane with him every game. And Adebayo, I guess you can maybe say it was positive that he was pretty aggressive on the offensive end, but it also seemed like the Nuggets just wanted him to shoot those shots. Yeah. Like, they were like, I'm very comfortable with Adebayo doing these jump hooks or these, you know, 10-foot jump shots, these drop step layups or whatever. They seem to welcome that. And as long as, you know, these three-point shooters in the corners or on the wings didn't get going at all, they seemed very comfortable with letting Adebayo score. And I also think maybe part of that is they really want to limit what Jokic is doing on the defensive end. I think they're worried about maybe foul trouble with him, because sometimes I think with his slower foot speed, that can be an issue with people who have slow foot speed on the defensive end, is they get into foul trouble and you have to take him out, and then he's not as aggressive on offense and creates a whole lot of worse things. So I think when Adebayo gets the ball, they kind of just say, Jokic, just back off and let him have it a little bit. Like, you know,
right.
Contest it a little bit, but don't contest it too hard or anything like that, because Adebayo is more athletic than you. He's faster than you, so he's going to be able to get to his spot quicker. But yeah, I just don't know what, if you're a Heat fan or cheering for the Heat, I don't know. I just don't see a path for them. I'm feeling very confident. Nuggets in five. I just don't see a path in slowing the team down right now.
The Heat got it within 9 at one point. I think it was late third, early fourth. The Nuggets were able to pull away largely because of Jokic and Murray and Michael Porter Jr., 14 and 13 for him. Bruce Brown was good off the bench. I think if the Heat are going to take a game here in Denver early on, I mean, the easy answer is you got to shoot better. And I know that's, again, very simplistic, but Caleb Martin, who had that huge game in game 7, 3 points, 1 of 7 from the floor, and then Max Strus, 0 for 10.
Terrible.
You can't have that, you know. Yeah. Like, and he's not going to... It's not a bold prediction, but I feel like he's not going to go 0 for 10.
Right, yeah, that's fair to say he's not going to go 0 for again. It's just, I just don't know. I'm trying to think defensively, like, what the Heat do. And, again, I know the Nuggets didn't play great in the fourth quarter, but I thought, by my count, they missed 3 or 4 just wide-open threes. And so that's why their shot percentage maybe looks a little bit worse. It's not because the defense was great or anything. It's because they just missed open shots. And Michael Porter Jr. didn't even play that great. I think he was 5 for 15 on the night or something like that. And he's one of their better three-point shooters. And the Nuggets are going to play better next game, I would say, even. Mm-hmm. So if I'm the Heat, not hitting panic button, but you got to really munker down and figure out what you got to do on defense there to slow that offense down.
MPJ, 5 of 16 from the floor, 2 of 11 from 3. The best three-point percentage last night was Bruce Brown, 2 of 3. So, I mean, they had an off night, and they still won by 11. So, you know, that's good if you're Denver. And you know, again, like you said, maybe not panic time yet for Miami, but they certainly need to figure some things out. Eric Spoelstra talked after the game last night, as the coaches do. They speak to the media and said this about what they can learn from game one.
Yeah, we're definitely going to have to go to school on it. You know, they're in a pretty good rhythm, you know, especially in that first half. Our disposition, the multiple efforts, the resolve in the second half was much better. But, you know, you get to this level, it has to be complete games of that kind of disposition. And even if you have that, you're not always going to win all the possessions that you want. But that's what you expect. You don't expect it to be easy when you get to this final round. This is a great challenge. It's going to require more. We'll get to work and see what we can do better, what we can do harder, what we can do with more effort.
Spoelstra also chiming in about the poor three-point shooting for the game. Miami 13 of 39, 33% from three, including that 0-for-9 mark for Max Strus, who's what the head coach had to say about that.
We've been through this before. Like, they're ignitable. You know, they've heard it from us, and they'll hear it from us. I love those looks, that those guys get. Man, I love it when they see a couple, two or three go down. That can turn into five or six. But I also love it, that toughness and grit, that we don't have to depend on that. We can find different ways and different solutions to get a win.
You got a couple days to find out those solutions. As for slowing down the Nuggets, here's what I don't have to pay him royalties, but Jimmy Butler, or just Jimmy Butler, considering his performance last night. Here's what he said when it comes to slowing down the Nuggets. How do they go about that in game two?
And for me, you got to attack everybody, not just one individual. I have to do a better job of creating the help, one, two guys, and getting it to my shooter. Otherwise, finishing at the rim, making shots. But we missed a lot tonight, and we'll be better in game two at the end of the day. That's what it is, so we'll take this, we'll learn from it, and we'll be back in 2 days.
Butler last night with 13 points. That was his fewest in a game this postseason. As for Denver, we mentioned Nikola Jokic, 27 points, 10 rebounds, and 14 assists. That's an NBA record, by the way, for a finals debut. He's the second player in NBA history to record a triple-double in his finals debut, joining Jason Kidd back in 2002. Jamal Murray, a double-double as well, 26 points and 10 assists. So combine the 10 with the 14, that's 24 assists from Jokic and Murray last night. And Nikola Jokic talking about playing unselfish basketball. It certainly worked to their advantage. It has worked to their advantage in the days, weeks, months leading up to this point. And, well, it definitely worked to their advantage last night, too.
That's how I learned to play basketball. And I think it's really nice to play when, and it's really hard to guard when you don't know who's going to attack and how to defend, when everybody's moving, everybody's doing something. So I think it's a really nice brand of basketball that we have.
Jokic and Murray, by the way, combining to score or assist on 87 of the Nuggets' 104 points last night. That's 84% in total. Winning the game last night means the Nuggets are 9-0 at home this postseason. It's also the first NBA Finals game win in franchise history. And yeah, it's a win, but Nuggets head coach Michael Malone, as you'll hear him say here, he knew it wasn't going to be easy facing off against this Heat team. Here's what he had to say about why it was important for them to get the win last night.
Well, that was one of my last messages to our group before the game. I reminded our group, if they didn't know, that Miami went into Milwaukee and won game one. They went into the Garden in New York City and won game one. They won game one up in Boston. So we did not want them coming in here taking control of the series on our court. To your point, we've done a hell of a job all season long of protecting our home court. I don't think we've lost a game at home in the playoffs as of yet. And we know Sunday night's going to be a hell of a challenge.
Michael Malone, head coach of the Denver Nuggets, weighing in there after last night's 104-93 victory over Miami. What does it mean? Well, it's one game, still going to win three more. If you're the Heat, you got to still win four games in this series. But when it comes down to it, the winner of the game one of the finals goes on to win the series 70% of the time. What might be working in the Heat's history is the last 2 years, well, the team that's lost the series has won game one. You go back to last year, Boston ended up winning game one. Golden State won the series in six. In 2021, the Phoenix Suns won game one. The Milwaukee Bucks, by the way, they won that series in six games, in case you weren't aware. I feel like I just need to remind people. Bucks in six. Anyways, that was 2 years ago, 2021. What's bad news for the Heat? The last time the team that won the first game in the series ended up winning the whole series, That was the bubble in 2020 where the Lakers went up 2-0 actually in that series, ended up winning the series in 6 games. I think it's a much different year even compared to the last 2 years. I think the Heat will probably get one, hence my Nuggets in 5 prediction, but the Nuggets do what they did and even shoot better for game 2 coming up on Sunday night. I think it's going to be a 2-0 series lead. So I'll stick with my prediction. I'm not wrong yet. I would still stick with it even if I was hurtling towards being wrong. But Nuggets up 1-0, and they will head to game 2 coming up Sunday night, 6 o'clock broadcast time from ESPN Radio right here on KGYM. The other NBA story from last night, this was interesting, and thought it was I read the story, and everybody gets, you know, kind of the reaction of, oh, my gosh, oh, what's going on here? The fact that Adam Silver had his press conference, that he does this with, I think he does it with the draft, he does it the All-Star game, kind of a State of the Union almost, where he talks to the media about stuff going on in the league, and he was asked about the investigation into Ja Morant and the Instagram Live video, the second Instagram Live in, 2 months of him allegedly, I mean, it was pretty obvious what he was doing, but pointing a gun, flashing a gun on Instagram Live. And Adam Silver, well, he had this to say about the investigation, and it sure sounds like Ja Morant is, surprise, surprise, going to be in some trouble. Just when we know how much trouble he is going to be in, well, we don't know yet. Here's the commissioner.
In terms of the timing, we've uncovered a fair amount of additional information. I think since I was still asked about the situation, I would say we probably could have brought it to a head now, but we made the decision, and I believe the Players Association agrees with us that it would be unfair to these players and these teams in the middle of this series to announce the results of that investigation. And given that we're, of course, in the off season, he has now been suspended by the Memphis Grizzlies indefinitely, and so nothing would have changed anyway in the next few weeks. It seemed better to park that at the moment, at least any public announcement. And my sense now is that shortly after the conclusion of the finals, we will announce the outcome of that investigation.
Okay, you don't want to distract from the finals, but then by announcing that before the finals, don't you distract from the finals? I agree with his logic in a sense, but you don't come out and say that and then, you know, a bunch of tweets come out from people who follow the NBA. Oh, what's going on with Ja Morant? Oh, Ja Morant, Ja Morant, Ja Morant. Oh, by the way, there's a game tonight. Nuggets and Heat, NBA Finals. But everybody's talking about Ja Morant. The best reaction I saw, I retweeted this at SW on the radio on Twitter if you want to follow along. But Mike Golic Jr., formerly of ESPN, tweeted out his reaction to the news. Probably the best one I saw. He equated it to when your parents text you the words "call me" instead of just them just calling you. Mike Golic Jr. saying, when that happens, you know it's going to be bad. And the fact that, well, Adam Silver addressed it and said, yeah, we're going to wait to announce this because it would distract from the NBA Finals. Oh, it doesn't seem like it bodes well for Ja, does it? 2:43 with Spencer on Sports. Get to a little hockey and a little Major League Baseball coming up here in just a bit. Get you an update from the Terre Haute Regional as well. Comeback complete for the Sycamores. Get you that coming up in 2 minutes at Spencer on Sports on the Gym.
Okay, Max is out with his friends. He's had a few drinks, and now he's ready to go home. Does he A, risk getting pulled over and hurting himself and someone else by getting behind the wheel? Or B, get someone to drive him? Let's watch. It looks like Max is taking out his phone. He's finding his rideshare app. He's getting a ride. Way to go, Max. Way to go. Drive sober or get pulled over. This message brought to you by the Iowa Governor's Traffic Safety Bureau.
Save big money on everything at Menards. Add style and security with Schlage lock sets. With Schlage's wide selection of smart locks and keyless entry locks, there's no more hiding keys under the doormat or losing track of copies. Right now, the Schlage Camelot electronic deadbolt is $109.99 after rebate. Good through June 4th. Savings are mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards. Wendy's $3 breakfast deal is a bacon or sausage egg croissant plus small seasoned potatoes for $3. It's the breakfast that don't miss. So if you did miss Wendy's breakfast, don't imagine. Fresh cracked eggs, sizzling sausage, crispy bacon, and block out those hot, buttery, flaky croissants. Croissants don't really make a sound, but if they did... For breakfast that don't miss, Wendy's is that breakfast. Choose wisely. Choose Wendy's $3 breakfast deal.
Limited time only. Participating U.S. Wendy's. Select a request $3 breakfast deal to obtain discount. Not valid for a la carte or combo orders.
Can I help? Who's next?
Tom's part-time barista is now a full-time actor.
Oh, you didn't hear. He got the part on Broadway. Yeah, great for him, bad for our finicky cold brew tap.
Now he needs a star understudy to fill his open role.
And he made the best grande triple shot with oat milk caramel.
Indeed can help him hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. We instantly connect you with quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
2:45, back with Spencer on Sports for a few more minutes here on a Friday afternoon. 319-366-1600, talk or text line wide open for you this afternoon. Comeback complete. Indiana State survives. They will not be upset by Wright State in game one of the Terre Haute Regional. They defend their home turf and beat Wright State 6-5. So the winner of the Iowa-North Carolina game tonight at 6 will face off with Indiana State in the winner's bracket. Loser of tonight's game between the Hawkeyes and Tar Heels will play Wright State tomorrow in an elimination game. I believe 11 a.m. Central Time. Where's my bracket? There's my bracket. Yes, bracket says noon, so that would mean 11 a.m. Central Time for that elimination game. Iowa can win. They would play tomorrow night against Indiana State, team they've beaten once already this year back in February down in Florida. Not a lot you can glean from that game so long ago. Postseason play, obviously, a different animal. We'll see if Iowa can get past North Carolina tonight. Maryland also representing the Big Ten. Talked about them few moments ago. They won their opening game today, beating Northeastern 7-2. So the Big Ten on the board with a victory today. More college baseball talk. Obviously, Monday is, so we recap everything that happened. Looking ahead to the weekend before we dive into Major League Baseball, hockey this weekend. Stanley Cup Final kicking off as Vegas Golden Knights host the Florida Panthers. Game one set for tomorrow at 7 o'clock on TNT. Each team looking to win their first ever Stanley Cup. Seventh time in league history that both teams in the championship series are looking to hoist the cup for the first time. And interesting fact, I was reading about the matchup, kind of the ins and outs of it. Both teams are in the cup final for a second time in franchise history. Both teams have lost. And each time that both Vegas and Florida have lost, they were also playing a team that was looking for their first Stanley Cup. So how about that? They've been there once. They've lost once. We'll see which one of those teams between the Panthers and the Golden Knights will come out on top. Also, interesting fact, this is all ESPN Stats and Info doing this. You know this. I'm not a big hockey guy. I'm a postseason hockey guy. I know lots being made at, I would call it kind of a meme in hockey circles. Am I wrong on that? That Canada still has not had a Stanley Cup champion. Well, this is the southernmost Stanley Cup final in NHL history between Vegas and Sunrise, Florida, where the Panthers play. So the cup keeps getting farther and farther away from the Canadian border. How do Canadians feel about that? Probably not very good, would be my guess. But if you want to hear game one of the Stanley Cup Final, in fact, every game of the Stanley Cup Final, you can check it out right here on KGYM. All of our frequencies covered starting a half hour before game time. So 6:30 tomorrow night, courtesy of our partners at Sports USA. Always do a great job with the hockey. Hockey, one of those sports. I've done play-by-play for high school and small college sports in my broadcasting career. Not done a ton of hockey, and the few times I was thrown into the fire on hockey, let's just say it was one of my worst broadcasts of all time. So major props to anybody out there who, A, understands hockey more than I do, and B, can follow the action and call it fast enough for it to be coherent and not jumbled and just straight up terrible on the air. Big ups to you. Poor, pour a glass to you if you were able to do that. But Florida and Vegas Saturday night, and then again Monday. So we got hockey to talk about on Monday as part of the show. 309-366-1600 coming up at 250. Spending a little time here on baseball from the Major League side of things. We talked a little bit about the games in progress yesterday, but we didn't get to, of course, the night games because they didn't happen yet. Surprise, surprise. But the Twins, a big win last night. Royce Lewis has had a nice week, of course, coming off the injured list, had the torn ACL 1 year to the day of him tearing the ACL on Monday. He had a big home run and a game-tying hit against Houston. And last night, Royce did it again. Game-tying two-run home run in the eighth. Twins able to win it against Cleveland last night, 7-6. Other scores from last night, the Mets beating Philly 4-2. San Diego over Miami 10-1. You had Arizona over Colorado, walk-off single from Corbin Carroll there. Boston beating a Cincinnati team that's been playing really well. Might be getting some of their top prospects. See Ellie De La Cruz, if you have not looked up his highlights yet. Kid's a monster, and he might be in the big leagues here very soon. Cincinnati falling, though, to Boston last night, 8-2, and then Houston beating the Angels 5-2. Looking at the schedule for tonight, by the way, today Lou Gehrig Day in Major League Baseball. Baseball going to raise awareness across the league and research funds for ALS, otherwise, of course, known as Lou Gehrig's disease. I was looking at some info from Major League Baseball, and there's going to be authenticated and autographed bats up for auction from select players across the league. Adley Rutschman, Spencer Torkelson, Christian Yelich, Pete Alonso, Mike Trout, Mookie Betts, all those up for auction to raise money for ALS research. But Major League Baseball going to honor Lou Gehrig tonight with wearing special patches, a Lou Gehrig Day patch on their uniforms, and also going to have wristbands and lineup cards, commemorative lineup cards and such today as well. So Lou Gehrig Day today on June the 2nd, marked across Major League Baseball. Got a pretty early game today over in Cincinnati, by the way, involving the Milwaukee Brewers. See if they can actually win a series on the road, something they haven't done since April. Brewers and Cincinnati at 4:10, one of the Apple TV games tonight. The Twins also on Apple TV Plus as they take on the Cleveland Guardians tonight. Also, you have the White Sox hosting the Detroit Tigers, the Royals hosting the almost called them the Kansas City Rockies. What? What am I thinking? The Colorado Rockies, the Kansas City Royals, and the Colorado Rockies. I have no idea where that came from. But Kansas City and Colorado tonight at 7:10 from Kauffman Stadium. The Cardinals are in Pittsburgh tonight. Jack Flaherty taking on Roansy Contreras tonight at 6:05. And the Cubs out in San Diego. Jameson Taillon squaring off against Michael Wacha. I honestly have no idea where the Kansas City Rockies came from. I don't know. My brain is ready in weekend mode, apparently, this weekend. Sunday Night Baseball this week, the Yankees and the Dodgers. Surprised ESPN has not had Yankees Red Sox yet, but I can assure you, fans, it is coming. It is on the way. But Yankees Dodgers is the national TV game on Sunday night. Before we get out of here, we would be remiss if I did not mention the Cedar Rapids Colonels last night. 24 runs. What's going on over there in Lansing? Cedar Rapids winning last night, in case you missed it, 24-5, beating the Lansing Lugnuts to extend their winning streak to 6 games. This is from the Colonels media relations folks. 24 runs, 20 hits, 5 home runs, and 2 grand slams, along with the 8 runs they scored in the ninth inning, all are season highs for the Colonels. And they also had single-game bests in the Midwest League this year with runs, hits, and home runs in last night's 24-5 victory over the Lansing Lugnuts. Hits, by the way, the hits that they had last night, The 20 hits tied the record for the season here for 2023. But 24 runs, a couple one-run games to start the series look like could be a competitive series. Lansing got some solid prospects, and then, bam, the Colonels just explode for 24 runs last night. Colonels have taken the first three. Win, like I said, extends the series to the winning streak, not the series winning streak, but the winning streak period to a season-high six games for Cedar Rapids. They'll continue that series through the weekend over in Lansing before heading to Dayton for another six-game set next week. 24 runs. Save some for the weekend, Cedar Rapids. Come on, Colonels. See if they can complete that series sweep. Got to get one more for a series win, at least. That'll wrap up the show for today. Enjoy the weekend. Stay cool. Enjoy the weekend. Enjoy the baseball. Enjoy all the sports. We'll be back with you Monday at 2 right here on KGYM. Gym class is next from 3 until 4. Todd Brommelkamp, of course, coming up between 4 and 6. Make it a great weekend. I'll see you Monday at 2 here in the gym.